Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Kopi tan bandavo bhatto Dakshina dvija vamshaja Vivitya vyalikad grantam Likitad vidha vaishnavaihi. One friend of theirs, a Bhatta scholar, from a family of South Indian Brahmanas, compiled this book after carefully studying the writings of venerable Vaishnavas. That's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Bhatta. Commentary. Here Jiva Goswami gives credit to Gopal Bhatta Goswami for writing the original version of Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha. Gopala Bhatta Goswami conceived the project. He extensively researched the writings of such Vaishnava authorities as Ramanuja. Sorry, I just lost the file. Anyway, Gopal Bhatta Goswami did a lot of research. Jiva Goswami tells us that it was Gopal Bhatta Goswami who studied, of course, works connected with the Bhagavatam of old Vaishnavas like Ramanuja and Madhva and others. And apparently he collected what formed an outline from which the Tattva Sandarbha could have been put together. It's doubtful that he wrote the whole book. It's such an extensive book. And it really has Jiva Goswami's signature all over it. It's obviously Jiva Goswami's work. Hare Krishna. Okay. Sorry, I'm not getting cooperation here from this machine. Okay. Gopal Bhatta Goswami conceived the project. He extensively researched the writings of such Vaishnava authorities as Ramanuja, Madhva, and Sridhar Swami, and collected his findings in notes that Sri Jiva Goswami later used as the basis for the Sandarbhas. By referring, though obliquely, to Srila Gopal Bhatta, because he doesn't give the name, he just mentions Bhatta, Kopi. A certain Bhatta, there are many Bhattas. By referring, though obliquely, to Srila Gopal Bhatta, whose exalted place among the six Goswamis of Vrindavan is well known, Sri Jiva reveals the depth of his own appreciation for this senior Vaishnava. The title Bhatta belongs to a certain class of learned brahmanas who specialize in prescribing warranted atonements for wrong behavior. That's the origin of the title, Bhatta. A Bhattacharya originally is one who prescribes prayashchita, atonements. Of course, it's not that throughout the generations that's all they do. It's just the original source of the idea, the name of this, of the caste, of many learned Brahmanas, especially in Bengal and in South India, have the name Bhatta. Gopal Bhatta's own family, his father is Venkata Bhatta, very Hare Krishna. Reputable, very distinguished Brahmanas of Sriranga. Who hosted Lord Chaitanya for the whole Chaturmasya one year. Gopal Bhatta, as an infant, got the association, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here I'm going to read you something more about Gopal Bhatta. Actually, I'm going to read what Prabhupada has to say about him. That Gopal Bhatta had such a prestigious birth was certainly not the extent of his glory. His family did come from the Bhatta subcaste, but much more significantly, they were the Lord's faithful devotees, whose company Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased to have. In a purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 10, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has provided information about Gopal Bhatta Goswami's life. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the son of Venkata Bhatta, a resident of Sri Rangam. Gopal Bhatta formerly belonged to the disciplic succession of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, but later became part of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. In the year 1433, Shakabda, AD 1511, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he stayed for 4 months. During the period of Chaturmasya, at the house of Venkata Bhatta, who then got the opportunity to serve the Lord to his heart's content. Gopala Bhatta also got the opportunity to serve the Lord at this time. Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami was later initiated by his uncle, the great sannyasi Prabodhananda Saraswati. Both the father and mother of Gopal Bhatta Goswami were extremely fortunate, for they dedicated their entire lives to the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They allowed Gopal Bhatta Goswami to go to Vrindavan, and they gave up their lives thinking of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya was later informed that Gopal Bhatta Goswami had gone to Vrindavan and met Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he was very much pleased. And he advised Sri Rupa and Sanatana to accept Gopal Bhatta Goswami as their younger brother and take care of him. Sri Sanatana Goswami, out of his great affection for Gopal Bhatta Goswami, compiled the Vaishnav Smriti named Hari Bhakti Vilas and published it under his name. Under the instruction of Sri Rupa and Sanatan, Gopal Bhatta Goswami installed one of the seven principal deities of Vrindavan, the Radha Raman deity. The Sevayites, priests of the Radha Raman temple, belonged to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Sri Jiva Goswami notes in his Sarvasambhadani, and references here, quotes here, Jiva Goswami, in the Sarvasambhadani it said, in the verse beginning Kopi, the sense of the statement is that the author cites as authority what has been written by venerable authorities, venerable Vaishnavas. Sri Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Sridhar Swami, and others. This refutes the idea that he has concocted something from his own head. He's making this point in the beginning of the book to let the readers know that what you're going to be reading is not just my own ideas. I am explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam as it has been explained by my predecessors. And I'm following their, giving their opinions and following their guidance. This is the proper method of a Vaishnava philosopher. We don't follow the pattern Nachasav Rishir Yashamatam Nabinam. If someone is not considered much of a thinker unless he has a different opinion, one has to reject the opinion of his predecessors and come up with something new to gain a name as a philosopher. But in our line, in the any traditional line of thought in India, following the opinions of your predecessors is of crucial importance. Otherwise, you're guilty of what's called apasampradaya, or apasiddhanta. Not adhering to, not being faithful to the basic opinions of your own sampradaya. You can use your own intelligence and your own words to clarify what has been taught by your predecessors. You can serve as the link between the past and the future and explain to new people what your predecessors have said. But when we're dealing with absolute knowledge, we have no business rejecting the opinions of our predecessors or ignoring them. Okay. Ramanuja and Madhva are also our predecessors, but we are in a special line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do have some differences of opinion. I discussed this here. Although the Acharyas, Ramanuja, and Madhva represent Vaishnav schools with which the Gaudiya Sampradaya disagrees with on some points of spiritual philosophy, and although some consider Sridhar Swami an impersonalist in the line of Shankara, some do, Sri Jiva Goswami has selected a number of statements by each of these authorities for serious consideration in the Sandarbhas and the Sarvasambhadani. Of these three Acharyas, he cites Sridhar Swami most often, more than 200 times. And those are the times where he says that he's quoting Sridhar Swami. Sometimes he is actually saying the same words and doesn't mention that he's doing it. So it's more than actually quite a bit more than 200 times that he's actually citing, you know, as the explanation of the verses he's talking about in the Sandarbhas, as the explanation of the Bhagavatam verses, he's giving Sridhar Swami's interpretation, usually acknowledging it and sometimes not even mentioning it. In fact, Sri Jiva often presents verbatim Sridhar Swami's comments on verses of the Bhagavatam as the basis of his own explanations. This is in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion that Sridhar Swami's authority is undeniable.
Okay.
That finishes the fourth verse. Any discussion on that? Yes, Vishnukanta Prabhu.
We see that Gopal Bhatta Goswami had done a lot of research and presented his explanations based on Bhagavatam. But we see that in their line, they give more precedence in among the Puranas. There are more priorities, Vishnu Purana, and then Brahmanda Purana, and so many other Puranas. And then comes like maybe third or fourth in the line of priority comes Bhagavatam with respect to the Siddhanta and pastimes of Lord Krishna also.
Yes.
So how do we understand that Gopal Bhatta had taken lot of Bhagavatam?
No, but understand, Gopal Bhatta joined Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan and became a full-fledged follower of Lord Chaitanya. So this is after his joining the Gaudiya Sampradaya that he did this research work. So he's following the methods of Rupa and Sanatana, which is primarily focusing first of all on Bhagavatam. Okay. Other Puranas, other Shastras are looked at, but the main evidence, the main basis for our understanding is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Do we know any other information about Prabodhananda Saraswati?
About which?
Prabodhananda Saraswati, his previous ashram and how he became a devotee and all that.
I don't think too much. I don't think there's that much biographical information on him. I don't even know if anything said about him in Bhakti Ratnakara, maybe something. I don't remember. There's just some brief mention of him in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then there's controversy. Some say that he's the same as Prakashananda Saraswati from Banaras. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktivedanta Saraswati argue very strongly against this idea. It's not, in fact, the timing is impossible. That Lord Chaitanya went, because in the year, we know the years when Lord Chaitanya went to Sri Rangam and when he went to Benares. It happens to be that he went to Sri Rangam first and met Prabodhananda Saraswati as a householder, Sri Vaishnav. And then some years later, apparently he went and found him in Benares as a Mayavadi sannyasi. And then he came back to Vrindavan and became a devotee again. It's impossible. So that's the main argument against the idea that Prakashananda Saraswati is Prabodhananda Saraswati. He isn't. They're not the same person. But I don't think there's very much biographical information about him.
So we have these three lines. First is Ramanuja line, then Madhava line, and Shridhar Swami, does he belong to some Vaishnava line?
That also, there's no certain information about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some idea that maybe he belongs to the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, or that he just belonged to the Mayavad Sampradaya and was a devotee, but he was officially a Mayavadi.
Mm-hmm.
Two main opinions. But I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita says we can't really tell which is the correct one. It's one or the other.
So can we tell that Srila Jiva Goswami, he already did this work for us, he took all points of philosophy from all these three lines, like Sridhara Swami, Madhava line, and Ramanuja line, he compiled it together in the extent which is necessary for us. And we can just accept his opinion in Shatsandarbhas, and this is amount.
Wait, that Sridhar Swami did this?
No, Srila Jiva Goswami.
Jiva Goswami did this. Yeah,
he took already all necessary points from these three lines, and he combined it in.
It wasn't much. It wasn't like that so much. That you know, he took one cup of Sridhar Swami, one cup of Madhvan, one cup of Ramanujan, mix them together in a blender. He used much more Sridhar Swami. And when Sridhar Swami didn't provide what he needed, he just came up with something of his own. Mm-hmm. And the quoting of Ramanuja and Madhva and others was much less common in the text of the Tattva of the Sandarbhas. It's in the Sarvasambhadani that he brings in statements from many, many different authorities, including people we don't agree with at all, Mayavadis and you know, materialists. He quotes from Vopadev, Sarvasambhadani, from Vopadev, from Vajaspati Mishra, from Shankaracharya. Anybody who has something useful to the explanation, he quotes. But that's Sarvasambhadani, which is a much more technical, complicated presentation. And you'll see more of the references to Madhva and Ramanuja in that part, in the Sarvasambhadani. Tattva Sandarbha, he didn't use them that much. In the Sandarbhas themselves, the six Sandarbhas.
So the question is, to which extent we can take some information from, for example, Ramanuja's life or Madhva's life in our practical...
You should first be very well acquainted with the opinions of the Acharyas and online. You can accomplish that by reading Prabhupada's purports. Or if you want, you can study the Sandarbhas, and then you'll know what's our opinion. And then you can go ahead and look at all the opinions from the Acharyas and other Sampradayas and be able to measure them up on the, according to the standard of our own Siddhanta. But in order to be able to read the explanations of Vedanta or Bhagavatam by Acharyas of other Sampradayas, you have to know your own Sampradaya first in order to be able to intelligently discriminate. I mean, if you're naive, just like if you look at, you know, texts of the Nyaya philosophy, it all sounds very interesting. You know, you get fascinated by it, and you may believe all of it, but actually there are things that the Nyayikas say that we don't agree with philosophically. And unless you know your own Sampradaya very carefully, every time you stick, you know, you start looking at some other Siddhanta, you may get swayed and, you know, be attracted and allured to believe everything they say. So in order to have a discriminating ability to look critically at other Siddhantas, you have to first of all know your own Siddhanta very well.
So, I'm just wondering, is it enough to just understand Śrīla Prabhupāda's books and, for example, Śrīla-sāṅgha-sāṅgha-sāṅgha or some other important writing of Acharyas?
Yes.
In order to get a complete understanding of philosophy, Samanga, Jnana, Abhideya, Prayojana, and in this way go home back to Godhead? Or we have some needs to take some information from Madhva?
Well, it depends on how well you have to know. I mean, what do you need to accomplish? Do you need to get yourself back to Godhead? Or do you need to take 50,000 other people with you? Yeah, you have to convince people all over the world, intelligent people, then you may have to, for that purpose, you may have to delve into it deeper than you would just for your own self. You have to answer, your own mind may be satisfied, but if you have to convince other more skeptical minds, intelligent people, then you're going to have to, who've looked at Shankaracharya, who've looked at these other philosophies, who know them, then you're going to have to deal with things in a sophisticated way. If you actually assimilate everything Jiva Goswami has to say in the Sandarbhas and the Sarvasambhadani, you're well equipped. He's already done a lot of the research. I don't think there's much need to know more than what Jiva Goswami is talking about. That's enough to satisfy almost any philosophical mind. But the thing we're facing is we have to translate this and explain it. So fortunately, I wasted years looking at Nyaya philosophy and other things. I've read these books. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to properly translate and explain the Sandarbhas. So I had to read these things. But I think if a devotee reads Prabhupada's purports and also reads the Sandarbhas, then he's equipped to deal with any philosophical dispute. Yes.
You were saying that some people say Sridhar Swami came in Vishnu Swami's line.
Oh, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that, that's the one opinion.
Okay.
And he doesn't deny it, he just can't tell if it's correct or not.
It was said that Vishnu Swami wrote his commentary on Vedanta code, and it was called Sridhar Dvaita.
Well, that's a label put on it, yeah.
Okay. Is it still around, and can it be mistaken for a Dvaita, or is it clearly...
No, it's not. It's not a Dvaita. Sarvagya Sukti is the name of his commentary. Now, Buddhists went on a rampage and destroyed most of the books of his Sampradaya. That's why the Sampradaya pretty much went under, because their books were destroyed. And later, Ballabhacharya accepted the seat of the Acharya of that defunct Sampradaya, revived it. Now, I don't know whether the Vedanta commentary by Sridhar Swami survived or not. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I can't remember.
They study it like they do for Madhava and Ramanuja. Mm-hmm. People don't really study that commentary.
Well, because maybe that it doesn't exist, and that's why nobody studies it. It's lost. It may be lost.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just quickly.
But what we know from fragments, I mean, there are fragments quoted in books, at least. And so it's clearly a Vaishnava philosophy. He's not a Mayavadi.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he's a bona fide Vaishnava.
Yeah. What did the Buddhists
see, these labels, Dvaita, Advaita, Vishishta Dvaita, these are not given by the original Acharyas. These are simplified labels that were applied later, and they're not 100% applicable. They're oversimplifications.
What did the Buddhists have against his Sampradaya? That they were destroying all his books?
I don't know the history of it. I guess the Buddhists wanted to keep control of the country, so they tried to suppress the Vaishnavas. But I don't know the actual history.
Because he was before Ramanujacharya and everybody else?
That I'm not sure either. When he lived, I don't know. I think he's considered very old.
Yes. Third century.
Is that reliable information or just a guess?
Because I did.
That might be a guess.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's certain. Yeah. Okay, but this may just be a scholarly guess. Some scholar guessed he lived in the 3rd century and we're taking that opinion. I don't know. I don't know if we have that much real information.
It seemed, I read a purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, and it seems like the description given there was that Vishnu Swami first wrote Sridhar Dvaita, and then later on the Mayavadis took advantage of this and they wrote Kevala Dvaita, and then Ramanuja came along, then Madhavacharya.
Wow, okay. You mean you think he was before Shankaracharya?
It seemed like it from the description, yeah.
Okay, not in the 3rd century AD, he wasn't.
When was Shankara? He was...
Yes?
Shankara was...
Oh, 6th century, yeah. 6th century.
6th century.
Yeah. AD, yeah. So, yeah, if he was 3rd century, he would be before Shankara.
Oh, uh-huh,
okay.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe, yes.
B.C. I thought he was 500 and something A.D. I thought he was 6th century. 8th century. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right because the Dvaita school developed a lot up to the time of, say, Vajrasapati Mishra. There couldn't be such a short period of time between Shankara and Vajrasapati Mishra, who lived in 800 and something. He must have been a little earlier than that, Shankara. Because there's so many books being written, so many generations of acharyas in between. It wouldn't fit in only 200 years. There's a lot of development of the Shankara school. Many ideas developed, you know, the Pratibimbavad and the Pratichedavad. Vivartavad. It took generations for these ideas to develop.
I think that's why they see the need to put Shankara's date
back
than 8th century. But 8th century is now the most known date.
I thought the date was somewhere 500 and something AD.
Okay. Like in our school textbooks we learned, and in all the quiz books, everything, everyone says 8th century.
Okay.
Kanchimat, they have got a dating which takes
BC.
Them back. Yeah.
Okay. Really, we don't know. We don't have definite information.
If we take some of the ideas of other schools and we try to see through our authoritative textbooks and give use those ideas along with to aid in our conclusions. So the opponent school might argue with us, saying that this is something like the Ardha Kukuta Nyaya, where you're taking a part of it and not taking other part of it. So you're trying to make a mixture out of different things like that. So how do we?
Well, if you're going to, again, Sri Goswami, Jiva Goswami has done this already. Rupa and Sanatana have already done this research into other Shastras and other Acharyas. But if, okay, you want to do some more research, do it carefully. If you're going to quote from so-and-so and such sampradaya, you should get a basic understanding of what their sampradaya is about. Read the major books of that sampradaya and get a good understanding of them, and then you can quote. Otherwise, you quote out of context without understanding the context. You are going to get criticized. You deserve to be criticized for it. You should go and investigate the whole hand, not just half of it. And then pick out what's relevant. But first of all, understand, if you're going to deal with Ramanujacharya's philosophy, read his major books. Understand them. Know what he's talking about, what his ideas are, and then you can quote from him.
Suppose those sampradaya people criticize even Jiva Goswami and others for doing this, then how do we defend us?
Well, Jiva Goswami has done thorough research. Even in his Harinam Vyakarana, he studied all those Vyakarana, other grammars, in depth. And in presenting the Bhagavatam, he studied these other materials he drew from in depth. He knew them very well. And let anybody take up the challenge to show that Jiva Goswami didn't know what he was talking about. Find any fault in Jiva Goswami's presentation. Then you can talk. You can say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, show us where Jiva Goswami doesn't know what he's talking about. Just show it. Show where he misrepresents some other Siddhanta. Just show it, you know. The challenge is there. Show where there's some fault. If they want to criticize Jiva Goswami, let them show what's wrong with Jiva Goswami. Let them point it out.
Have you dealt with such people before? Have you dealt with such people before?
Yeah, meet them all the time. The way to deal with them is to ask them to be specific. They have some. They find some fault. Let them show what the fault is, and then we can defend. But if it's just a general criticism, you know, that you guys don't know what you're talking about, well, show us that we don't know what we're talking about, and then deal with specifics. I met a professor in Gwalior who complained there's no such word as Srila in the Sanskrit language. But we just read yesterday, Jiva Goswami uses the word in his Mangalacharana verse. The other Goswamis in our line, they use the word in their poetry. So maybe some other schools don't use the word, but we do. And why do you deny that the word's not in the language? So that's just not fair. It's just criticizing for the sake of criticizing. It's not like we made, in ISKCON, we made up the word Srila. It's there in the poetry of Rupa Sanatana and Jiva Goswami.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Is there any particular reason why Shri Jiva Goswami doesn't mention name of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, but he just speaks about Bhatta? I remember maybe in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is it so that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he asked Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, doesn't
he asked not to be
name?
Mentioned. He asked.
Yeah,
he did ask.
But in this case, is it the same?
He may have also
reason?
Asked Jiva Goswami not to mention him. So maybe the Jiva Goswami promised not to mention his name. It very well may be that. Otherwise, it's just a poetic device. You know, by being clever like that, you know, it's obvious to anybody who knows there's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It's just a poetic way of emphasizing it, but not actually mentioning the name.
So it was no room for mistakes if he just mentioned Bhatta, because everybody knew that there were only one Bhatta from South India, Gopal Bhatta, at that time in Vrindavan.
Well, there was only one Bhatta who could have written the first draft of this Tattva Sandarbha. I mean, there's no way that anybody could argue it was somebody else. There's a book, Satkriyasar Deepika, written by Gopal Bhatta. Some say it wasn't Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It was a householder called Gopal Bhatta, because it's about household rituals. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur affirms, no, it was Gopal Bhatta Goswami who wrote that book. So that kind of a difference of opinion might be there. There's some other Gopal Bhatta.
But in this case, it's obvious that it's
I don't think there's a controversy about the authorship of the Satkriyasar Deepika. I never heard of any controversy over whether it was Gopal Bhatta or some other Bhatta who was involved with the Sandarbhas. I don't think anybody thinks that. Yeah.
Does Jiva Goswami explain the word Srila, or he just uses it?
Explain?
Does Jiva Goswami explain the etymology of the word Srila, or he just uses it in the Mangalacharna?
I don't remember seeing an explanation of Srila in the Sandarbhas. Yeah, I think there is one.
Really?
In the Bhagavad Sandarbha, in passing, I think he does explain the word. Where is that? Baladevi Dibhushan in Bhagavad Sandarbha is Baladevi Dibhushan.
Okay.
Analyzes the word Srila. For this verse? Yesterday's verse, where we had Srila, Baladeva Dibhushan talked about what the word meant.
Okay, so you can look it up in his commentary.
I'm about to apologize to that professor in Gwalior. Baladeva Dibhushan is analyzing a word that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And it's funny also about, because the same thing is there with Hari Bhakti Vilas, about whether it's Sanana Goswami or Gopal Bhatta. But it's funny that it seems in...
See what Prabhupada said here. That Sanatana Goswami wrote the book and then put Gopal Bhatta's name on it.
Yeah, because it's...
That's what Prabhupada said.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a whole chapter where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami how
all
to write Hari
yeah.
Bhakti Vilas part by part, telling him all the
telling
things.
Him how to write the book.
Yeah.
But Prabhupada does mention that there's a version by Gopal Bhatta.
I saw it when I was doing manuscript research. It's
you found it even. You've seen
well,
it.
Well, they call it, it's the same thing, but sometimes they call it, instead of Hari Bhakti Vilas, they call it Bhagavat Bhakti Vilas. And they say it's Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
Is it the same book or a different version?
I asked Sri Vatsa Goswami when I saw him about that, and he said it's the same book.
Same exact book?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the German library, they call it Bhagavat Bhakti Vilas. They have a few versions of the manuscript. And they say Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
Okay. But that may have something to do with what Prabhupada says, that Sanatana Goswami put Gopal Bhatta's name on it.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Okay.
So, is there any reason why Srila Jiva Goswami, he appeals to the name of Gopal Bhatta Goswami? Is it so that he himself doesn't belong to some... some very high class Brahmana family, so he just want to put some name of some authority Brahmana in order to be accepted by another Vaishnava who very particular to this question.
But the family of Rupa and Sanatana is also very venerable. There are Saraswata Brahmanas from Karnataka. They're first class Brahmins. And he can Jiva Goswami, I think it's Jiva Goswami in the Brihad Vaishnav Toshini, Lagu Vaishnav Toshini, describes the ancestors of Rupa and Sanatana going back 7 generations. So it's a very reputable family. I don't think Jiva Goswami has that problem. That his own, you know, he doesn't come from a good family himself, so therefore he uses Gopal Bhatta's name. His own family is very reputable.
I'm asking that because in the case of Rupa Sanatana Goswami, they, in the eyes of society at that time, they fall down because they were at the service of Muslims, so they, in some way, they lost the qualification. But in the case of Shuldeva Goswami, he didn't do it. He was just very young man at that time.
But Jiva Goswami, we have other books with his own name on it. You know, why did he do it only for this book? Why didn't he put Gopal Bhatta Goswami as the author of all of his books? Why did Rupa Goswami publish his books under his own name and Sanatana Goswami under his own name? It's not consistent. Then Gopal Bhatta should have been ascribed as the author of all these books. If they're afraid that they're considered fallen, and therefore their names aren't reputable, they use their names enough. You know, Rupa Goswami published the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu under his own name. Why? If he was afraid of his name. And why was Sanatana Goswami published the Brihad Bhagavatamrita under his own name? So why was it only for this one book?
Maybe because it's like kind of Rasa Shastras, but Rasa is not under the such strict rules. As, for example, Vidhi, like in the case of Hari Bhakti Vilasa, it's rules and regulations which are very particular for some caste Brahmanas. So, and therefore he...
Possibly. It's possible. Yes?
Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj went to Sringeri. He was not allowed to debate because he was not a Brahmana or something. So, when presenting Siddhantic works like this or like Hari Bhakti Vilas to be taken seriously, I think and Gaur Saraswata Brahmanas also, maybe that time the situation was different, but at least now in Karnataka, if a Gaur Saraswata Brahmana, GSB they are called, they are not considered as Brahmanas by. Now they are considered pretty. You know, all the other, there are so many other Havyak Brahmanas and so many other Brahmanas. They don't consider them GSB, Gaura Saraswata Brahmanas, now.
Translated fully, or is it like along it whole Sarva Samadhi comes as an appendix along with the Sandarbhas, or only the portions are taken and explained as and when required? Second alternative, whether is it the whole Sarva Samadhi is translated and made as an appendix to the Sandarbhas, or is it? No, the first time I'm saying, along with the Sandarbhas, the Sarva Samvadini is going to get translated fully, or, okay. The whole Sarva Samvadini. But you said that it's a mixture of clarifications for all the 6 books. So those parts relevant for...
separate which verses it's talking about, but it only deals with things that
like a self commentary on certain sections of the book, like that.
Better to just understand it as an appendix that gives further explanation of certain ideas. Okay, so we'll stop now. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Sat Sandarbha Ki Jai. Srila Jiva Goswami Ki Jai.